The title of my sermon today is Armed and Dangerous. Armed and Dangerous. This title is a statement that's made in faith. It's a declaration of what could and should be. It's not what is right now, I don't believe. Because if I look at the modern church, at our cultural Christianity, I would have to say that we're neither armed nor dangerous to anyone except for ourselves. Instead of engaging in the spiritual battle that's raging all around us, we attack each other to the point to where our marriages, just like everybody else's, end in divorce. Our relationships with our children are ravaged. Our own testimonies are torn to pieces, and they're left laying in the dirt like so many dirty rags. But brothers and sisters, it does not have to be this way. God has given us everything that we need to win the battle if we will only take the time to equip ourselves and prepare for the coming conflict. My text this morning is from Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And many of you may know this scripture. It's one that children are encouraged to memorize. But I hope that God will give us a new perspective on this scripture today. Let me read. Paul says to the Ephesians, a final word. Be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all of the strategies and the tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and the authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, against the wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for, Lord, your servants who have delivered it to us. And God, I just pray that you would take, Lord, just this tiny section of scripture and that you would make it alive to us today. Lord, that you would help me to stand out of the way of what you want to say, but Lord, that you would speak through me. And Lord, I pray that your words would become alive in our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? What was it, a couple weeks ago that the children from Awanas were down here? Awana, excuse me, it doesn't have an S at the end. But the Awana program, they were graduating their students. They were having their commencement celebration. And all of these children stood down here, and most of them had memorized scripture, and they were reciting it back to us. Wasn't that something to see? They had the Word of God put inside of them. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe it'll stick. As I was preparing for this scripture, for this message today, there were things coming back to my memory that I learned when I was a child memorizing scriptures. Of course, they came back to me in King James because that's what we used at the time. But then some other scriptures came back to me. They came back to me in New American Standard because later in my life, that's what I used was New American Standard. But the scriptures were coming back to my mind. They were there. And I believe what these children have committed to their memories will sink down into their spirits, and they will be there for all time, ready for for them to use. And they were cute, right? I mean, these little kids up here sang their scriptures. But they were beyond cute. Here's what I saw in the Spirit. And give me just a minute to prepare. This is what I saw in the Spirit. I saw, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us, that whosoever should believe on him would not perish, but would what? Have everlasting life. Amen? Amen. That's what I saw in the Spirit. It wasn't little children. It was people being prepared with the Word of God. You know what else I saw in the Spirit? I saw Satan tremble. Because he understands that these little ones, that what they have in their hands can defeat him. These little ones are wielding a very powerful weapon. And it's one against which Satan has no defense. The powerful word of the true and living God. And the very same weapon that Jesus used when he was in the wilderness, when he was being tempted by the devil. I see it in the Spirit, brothers. But you know what? The Word of God is not our only defense against the devil. We have a whole set of armor that Paul refers to in this letter to Ephesians. He says, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all, say with me, put on all of God's armor. Whose armor?
God's armor.
Put on all of God's armor. Why? So that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil. Do you believe that the devil has a strategy? I do. I've seen it at work. Do you think that we can know his strategy? Listen, Satan may be tricky, but I believe if we are paying attention, his tricks are blatantly obvious. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched a nature show and seen lions attacking. It's really something else to see. They get down and they hide in the grass. You know, they're kind of like a cat. Their backing goes up and they start moving around like this. You can tell when they're getting ready to pounce. But lions are lazy. They are opportunistic hunters. They are waiting for someone to get close to them. They look for some part of the herd that's been separated from the rest of the herd. Some animal that's just wandered off. They wandered off from the safety of the herd, and then they stalk their prey, and they pounce on their victim when they're not looking, when their heads are down eating. They're somehow distracted. Satan is just like that. Satan is looking for those who are wandering away close to sin and away from fellowship. Flirting with sin makes us an easy mark for the devil, because you are in his territory. And when you get in those dark places, I believe that you become spiritually insensitive and unaware of how close you are to danger. You, brothers and sisters, need to stay alert for your own sake and for the sake of others. But you know, there's one other thing about lions that I found interesting. For all of their speed, all of their strength, their sharp claws, sharp teeth, lions lack stamina. You may have seen it on some one of these channels, nature channels, where they go off and they chase some gazelle, and they run and they run and they run, and finally they just give up. That's because they don't have any stamina. If they can catch up with you, you're in trouble. But if you can stay away from that lion long enough, eventually he's just going to tire out and give up. James 4 says this, humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, you may not believe this, but if you resist him long enough, Satan will give up the chase. And I believe if you humble yourself before God, God will help you resist. Our job is to stand our ground. Amen? Let's go on. In verse 12, he says, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Those are spiritual things. But here's his real point. We are not fighting against people. Say that with me. We are not fighting against people. One more time. We are not fighting against people. One of the greatest lies of the devil is that our brother is our enemy. Satan likes to attack two major areas of our life, our relationships and our testimony. If he can get us fighting against each other, Satan knows that that will keep us out of the real battle. Here's how he does it. Let's say that your spouse forgot to pick up the clothes at the cleaners, and now you have this important meeting you're going to, and there's this shirt that you really wanted to wear. It was in that cleaning. Say, honey, I can't find my shirt. Do you know where it is? No. Did you pick up the cleaning? No, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to do that. Oh, man. You know what? If you get to the point where you say, you know, I'm just going to let that slide, Satan comes up behind you and he says, she did that on purpose. She wants you to fail. Or he says something like, you know, he is so insensitive. He doesn't care about you. He puts these lies in your mind. And you know what? If you believe the lie, then he's got you. The first thing that you know, you're arguing about something of no value for no good reason. The argument escalates until now you're fighting over something that she did last month or something that he said last year. It's all craziness. All Satan has to do now is just sit back and admire our own ability to tear each other down. And if things start to die down, he just tosses in another accusation. And we pick it up. We eat it like it was candy. Brothers and sisters, why do we let the devil trick us like this? I believe it's because we're not aware and we're not armed. If you can keep in mind that you're not fighting against people, then you will reject the lie that the devil tries to infect you with. I'm going to use this, Emily. Emily told me this yesterday, but I thought it was a good example. Remember when Peter tried to rebuke Jesus for saying that he was going to be crucified? He said, no, no, Jesus, that's not going to happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Was Jesus calling Peter Satan? No. It was just a few verses earlier that he was saying to Peter, you're going to be the rock upon which I'm going to build the church. Jesus is not double-minded. What I believe is that Jesus is seeing past Peter and he sees Satan behind him. And he speaks directly to Satan. He says, get behind me, Satan. Because he knows that Satan is trying to use Peter's words to cause him to stumble. But it wasn't Peter he was attacking, it was Satan. I think if we look at things with spiritual eyes, then we will be able to say, you know what? I know my wife didn't do that on purpose. I can find another shirt. If we see things with spiritual eyes, we can say, you know, I forgive you for that. We can ask for forgiveness, and then it's freely given because we believe the best about each other, and we know in our hearts that our spouse is not our enemy. And if we can model this behavior with our mates, imagine what that would do for your children. They would see that there's a better way to deal with conflicts. And when they go on to get married themselves, maybe they'll choose that better way. All you have to do to make this work is to put on your armor. This will protect you when the accusations and lies of the devil come your way. So what is this armor? Well, let me do it from, I'm going to start from the head and work my way down, okay? Number one is the helmet of salvation. Now, I believe that it's significant that our salvation is being compared to a helmet. A helmet surrounds your head, which is the seat of your thinking, the nerve center that directs your body. When we're saved, this becomes the property of Christ. Do you believe that? This becomes the property of Christ and should come under his control. Our salvation should be surrounding our heads. Our salvation should color our thoughts so that we think the best about others and meditate only on those things that are worthy of Christ. Let me say that again. Our salvation should color our thoughts so that we think the best about others and meditate only on those things that are worthy of Christ. Our salvation should put filters on what we hear so that we reject gossip about our brothers, but instead we are sensitive to listen to the needs of others. Let me say that again. Our salvation should put filters on what we hear so that we reject gossip about our brothers, but instead we are sensitive to listen to the needs of others. Our salvation should put blinders on our eyes so that we keep our gaze off of evil and shameful things and we focus only on our Savior. Our salvation should put blinders on our eyes so that we keep our gaze off of evil and shameful things and focus only on our Savior. Amen? And lastly, our salvation should put a leash on our tongue so that we avoid saying hurtful things to and about our fellow man. But instead, we sing praises to God. Amen. Say that one more time. Our salvation should put a leash on our tongue so that we avoid saying hurtful things to or about, that's key, or about our fellow man. And we instead sing praises to God. That's what our salvation should do for us. Our salvation is a gift from God. Don't leave home without it. It is meant to be worn at all times. It will protect you even before the battle begins. And I guarantee you, if you're wearing your salvation, anytime you encounter somebody or some situation or conflict, what you're going to see is salvation. Amen? Next is the breastplate. Sorry about that. Is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, a breastplate was designed to protect all of your vital organs. You've seen them on movies. You know, they look like they're all bulked up. And I'm sure that the men that are wearing those really have all those muscles behind those. But if they built one for me, it'd have to be kind of flat here and rounded here. But it's designed to protect your vital organs, your lungs, your belly, especially your heart. In Romans, it says to clothe yourself with the armor of right living as those who live in the light. Righteous living protects your testimony and it guards your heart. If you live a life that's sinful, even one that is just questionable, then your friends and your coworkers and your family members will begin to doubt your testimony and maybe even doubt your salvation. When you act in a manner that's not worthy of Christ, you leave yourself exposed. You open your heart up to attack from the evil one. Take off your own self-righteousness because it is worthless. It will not stand up against the attacks of the devil. Instead, you take on God's righteousness. If you take that on, then you're protected by righteousness that cannot be disputed, cannot be denied, and cannot be penetrated, even by Satan himself. Put on your breastplate. The next thing is the belt of truth. In those days, a belt was used to gather up the robe, and you would gather it up so that it would be up above your knees, so that you could move around when you're fighting, and so that you wouldn't trip over the hem of your robe. Truth really does set you free. And the truth always trumps a lie. But if you don't know the truth, then Satan can tell you any lie he wants, and you'll believe it. But if you know the truth, the best thing that you can do, the best thing that he can do, is try to twist the truth around like he did with Eve in the garden. If you have truth around your waist, then you will be able to move quickly to dodge the lies that the devil throws at you. Wear your belt of truth. Next, we're to put on the shoes of the gospel. I call these the good news shoes. Remember the song that goes like this? How lovely on the mountains are the feet of them who bring good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. In case you're interested, that comes from Isaiah 52, verse 7. Paul says that we're supposed to prepare our feet with the gospel of peace. That's so that as we walk through our daily lives, we are ready to proclaim the good news, both with our words and by our actions. Now, you may wonder what this has to do with spiritual warfare. But I believe that when you proclaim salvation to a lost soul, you are attacking the devil where it hurts him the most. That's why he works so hard to destroy your testimony. If Satan can keep you out of the real battle, the battle for souls, then his job is done. Brothers, if heaven rejoices, if the angels sing, when a person is brought to Christ, then I believe that Satan surely cries. He hates it. But if you can stay engaged in the battle, then you will have won the day, not only for yourself, but for somebody else. And then there will be two of you standing side by side singing, "Our God reigns, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns." You know what? I think Satan hates that song. Make no mistake, Satan's not going to take that lying down. He's going to be tossing fiery darts at you as much as he can. The translation that I read calls these arrows, but they really don't have that much aim. The fiery dart that Paul is referring to was a stick of cane, and they would take bits of cloth and they would tie that to the end so it kind of had a ball on the end of it. And then they would take those and they would stick them in pitch and let them soak. When it came time for the battle, they would pull them out and they would light them, and then they would just kind of toss them like they would a grenade. They may even take a handful, light them and toss them so that they kind of spread out. Multiple warheads. The idea is that they'll hit something that'll burn. If they can catch something on fire, then you're going to end up doing this instead of having yourself engaged in the battle. You'll be fighting fires. Let me tell you, Satan doesn't have any more aim than this. You know, he's just hoping to hit something that's going to burn in your life. But if you have your shield of faith up, it will deflect these attacks with ease. There's a scene in The Gladiator. I don't know how many of you have seen that movie. But there's a battalion of Roman soldiers. And they are lined up in rows and columns. I'm not sure how many is in this group, but it's a large group of men. And they are they're marching out towards the enemy lines. And as they're marching, the enemy suddenly appear out of the trees, and they pull back arrows that are flaming. And they let those go. And just as quickly, the guys that are in the front of this line get down on their knees, and they take their shields, and they put them down in front of them. Now, these were not little round shields like you see sometimes on movies. These were big shields. These were 4 foot by 2.5 foot. They set these down in front. The guys on the side did the same thing. The guys that are in the middle get down on their hands and knees, and then they hold their shields up like this. I'm not sure what's doing that. It must be my personality. So they're holding their shields up like this over their heads. And so they are completely boxed in by these shields. You see the arrows come over. They land on the shields, but they do not hit any of the men. The men are completely unharmed. Our faith is like that. If we put our trust in the Lord in times of trouble, then I believe that we will be shielded from the ill effects of the darts that are flung at us. But if we're not using our shield, what happens? That dart comes and it hits the grass behind us, and all of a sudden we're having to chase off and try to put that fire out. It's what Satan wants to do, keep you out of the real battle. Next is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the sword is a very versatile weapon. It's both defensive, it can block attacks, but it's also offensive. It's designed for close combat. When you get in the thick of the battle, God's Word is something that Satan cannot defend against. He will try to use it against you to be sure, just like he did against Jesus in the wilderness. But you have the upper hand. You know the sword's maker. And you know what? He's always there to help you use your sword in battle. I believe that if you're faithful to get God's Word inside of you, and by that I mean if you study it, if you read it, if you meditate upon it, that it gets down inside of your soul. And if you have this Word inside of you, when the time of battle comes, the Spirit will be faithful to help you get it out whenever you need it the most. Amen? Let's look back at verse 18. Paul says, "Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere." If the Word of God is our sword, then prayer is our spear. With prayer, we're able to launch volleys at the enemy into places that are outside of our own personal conflict. I can offer up prayers for that missionary that's in a foreign land. I can offer up prayers for my child that's off at college. I can pray for those that I don't even know. All Christians everywhere. With prayer, I can attack the enemy who is causing harm to my brothers and my sisters, my friends, and my neighbors. And you know what? Satan hates that. Because now, instead of just fighting one, he's having to fight two or three or five or six. He's there. He's trying to fight this guy. And all of a sudden, he gets hit in the back with a spear. Oh! He gets hit with another spear. Oh, I think I'm getting out of here. This hurts. Satan cannot stand up to our attacks of prayer. Amen? And when we pray at the direction of the Spirit, our aim is deadly accurate. Satan can have his fiery darts. We have a much more potent weapon, a spear that is lit with the fire of the Spirit. It's effective, brothers. Paul emphasizes the need for prayer as part of our battle plan against the devil. He says, stay alert, be persistent, pray at all times, on every occasion, for all Christians, everywhere. You think he thought it was important? Prayer is one of our most powerful and effective weapons. And when we agree together in prayer, it's like sending multiple guided warheads towards the same objective. And when you're not in the battle yourself, you can still be engaged in the war when you pray for the saints. You can help them in their war. Isn't that great? So remember to pray at all times in the Spirit for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember to put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and the good news shoes. Take up that shield of faith and the sword of God's word. And above all, remember that our conflict is a spiritual one. Our fight is not with people. In fact, one of the things that I noted about all of this armor is that it leaves your back unprotected. So who do you suppose protects your back? Huh? Turn around and look behind you. Go ahead, do it. Look behind you. That's who's got your back. That's who's got your back. We have to remember that you're in the fight with them, not against them. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've given us all that we need. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us to use it. Lord, that you would help us to be aware. Lord, that you would help us to understand that our fight is not against our brothers. God, I pray that you would help us to fight side by side instead of face to face. Lord, may we turn instead to face the enemy and fight him off. Lord, because this fight is dependent on it. Put this into our hearts, I pray. Help us through this next week to be sensitive to your Spirit, Lord, and to see the battle that's raging around us and to engage in that battle in a way that is effective. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Fred.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. That was wonderful.